Miss Minerva leaned far over, her keen eyes seeking Dan's face. It was turned toward the wall, half buried in the pillow. "Dan," she said brokenly. She put her hand on his cheek. The night air was warm and muggy, but she shivered a little as she drew the hand quickly away. Steady. She must be steady now. She hurried through the living room to the hall. The telephone was in a closet under the front stairs. Her fingers were trembling again as she fumbled with the numerals on her dial. She got her number. Heard finally an answering voice. "Amos? Is that you, Amos? This is Minerva. Come over here to Dan's as quickly as you can." The voice muttered in protest. Miss Minerva cut in on it sharply. "For God's sake, Amos, forget your silly feud. Your brother is dead." "Dead?" he repeated dully. "Murdered, Amos. Will you come now?" A long silence. What thoughts, Miss Minerva wondered, were passing through the mind of that stern, unbending Puritan. "I'll come," a strange voice said at last, and then a voice more like that of the Amos she knew. "The police. I'll notify them, and then I'll come right over." Returning to the hall, Miss Minerva saw that the big front door was closed. Amos would enter that way, she knew, so she went over and opened it. There was, she noticed, an imposing lock, but the key had long since been lost and forgotten. Indeed, in all Dan's great house, she could not recall ever having seen a key. In these friendly, trusting islands, locked doors were obsolete. She re-entered the living room. Should she summon a doctor? But no, it was too late. She knew that only too well. And the police, didn't they bring some sort of doctor with them? Suddenly she began to wonder about the police. During all her time in Honolulu, she had never given them a thought before. Away off here at the end of the world, did they have policemen? She couldn't remember ever having seen one. Oh, yes, there was that handsome brown-skinned Hawaiian who stood on a box at the corner of Fort and King Streets, directing traffic with an air that would have become Kamehameha himself. She heard the scrape of a chair being moved on the lanai, and went to the door. "Nothing is to be touched out here," she said. "Leave it just as it was. You'd better go upstairs and dress, both of you." The two frightened servants came into the living room and stood there regarding her. They seemed to feel that this terrible affair called for discussion. But what was there to be said? Even in the event of a murder, a Winterslip must maintain a certain well-bred aloofness in dealing with servants. Miss Minerva's feeling for them was kindly. She sympathized with their evident grief, but there was, she felt, nothing to discuss. "After you've dressed," she ordered, "stay within reach. You'll both be wanted." They went out, Haku in his absurd costume, Kamaku moaning and muttering in a way that sent shivers up and down Miss Minerva's spine. They left her there alone, with Dan, and she who had always thought herself equal to anything still hesitated about going out on the lanai. She sat down in a huge chair in the living room and gazed about her at the trappings of wealth and position that Dan had left for ever now. Poor Dan! Despite all the whispering against him, she had liked him immensely. It is said of many, usually with small reason, that their lives would make an interesting book. It had been said of Dan, and in his case it was true. What a book his life would have made, and how promptly it would have been barred for all time from the shelves of the Boston Public Library. For Dan had lived life to the full, made his own laws, fought his battles without mercy, prospered and had his way, dallied often along forbidden paths, they said, but his smile had been so friendly, and his voice so full of cheer. Always until these last 2 weeks. Ever since that night he sent the letter to Roger, he had seemed a different man. There were lines for the first time in his face, a wary, apprehensive look in his grey eyes. And how furious he had been when last Wednesday he received a cable from Roger. What was in that message, Miss Minerva wondered. What were those few typewritten words that had caused him to fly into such a rage and set him to pacing the floor with tigerish step? She thought of him as she had seen him last. He had seemed rather pathetic to her then. When the news came that the President Tyler could not dock until morning, and that Barbara— Miss Minerva stopped. For the first time she thought of Barbara.